Welcome back to the Spiritually Armored Podcast. I'm Devin Singleton. This is Jeremiah Settle. Today we're going to continue our study on the spiritual armor, and it's going to be on the helmet of salvation today. I wanted to start off, as we always do with these, talking about the Roman helmet, the Roman soldier's helmet, and just in general helmets that we know about today. So when you Google it, the definition of a helmet is a hard or padded protective hat, various types of which are worn by soldiers, police officers, firefighters, motorcyclists, athletes, and others. So Americans are very familiar with a football helmet. Now we're talking about American football, not the other football.
Yeah, soccer.
That piece of equipment is a vital part of the football player's uniform.
Yes.
And without it, they would get extraordinarily injured, maybe even risk death.
Yeah.
Many people wear helmets when they're riding bicycles to protect their head in case they fall.
Yep, I've done that before. Yeah. For riding dirt bikes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, dirt bikes. And funny enough, I have motorcyclists next on this outline. Motorcyclists wear helmets that cover parts of their face, as well as their head. But those serve multiple purposes. One, to protect from a potential crash where they would hit their head on the ground. Also, helmets cover the front of their face so that it protects their face from rocks that may kick up from tires. So that serves multiple purposes.
Yeah.
But it still protects the face and the head. And a army man, such as yourself, a soldier, you know about the U.S. military helmets that they wear.
Yeah.
They're made to be greatly protective while also being lightweight, so it doesn't inhibit your mobility very much.
Also, to kind of add to that, helmets are designed in a way on the battlefield to know who your allies are and who your enemies are.
There you go.
And even during Roman times as well, like you think about the centurion, I can't remember what it's called, but the feathery looking part.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
It's like a mohawk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. that actually showed you who your leadership was. Oh. And you were able to distinguish also what your allied leadership versus non-allied leadership.
Okay. That's something I didn't know. Would you look at that? But ultimately, the purpose of helmets are to protect the head from extensive damage.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we talk about Roman helmets, the Roman soldiers' helmets, let's remember that when we read the Bible, we have to remember the context in which it was written.
Right.
And we talked about this when we first started this study. I've heard a lot of people say, put on your first century glasses.
Yeah.
You need to think about the context historically of the first century. But that just means when we study the Bible, that it would really benefit us to understand the events and historical context of what we read.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's important for us to understand that the armor that Paul is talking about is the armor that Roman soldiers wore. At least that's what he's relating the spiritual armor to.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you the question. What do you know about Roman soldiers' helmets?
I know that it evolved over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changed into where they even put flaps on the side. Mm-hmm. To kind of protect against the ears and also the jaw.
Yeah.
But past that, I don't know too much about it.
Well, the back of the helmet, right at about halfway down their head, there was a brim, kind of like what you find on hats today.
Yeah.
That brim was used to protect the back of the head from sword strikes.
Mm.
And it was kind of like we talked about with the shield. It was like a tubular shape.
Mm-hmm.
It had curvature to it so that it wasn't just a clean strike on a flat surface. You also had another brim up here right above the forehead to also protect from sword attacks. And then you mentioned the ears had flaps. Those ears, it was to protect the rest of the face. But it was actually, there was holes in those to keep the ears open so that the soldiers could hear orders.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. The idea of every helmet ever in the history of man, you want to protect the head without inhibiting any the other parts of your body, the other senses you have. So again,
excuse me.
The design of this helmet was made to do one thing, protect the soldier's head. However, that goal needed to be accomplished without impairing the soldier's ability to hear, see, move swiftly, whatever. We mentioned that already. But that leads into our discussion of the helmet of salvation. And Jeremiah, if you could read Ephesians 6, verse 17.
Okay. So I'll read it from my New King James Version, and also okay. I'll read it from the New American Standard.
Sounds good.
Because I know that's what you use.
Yep.
So the New King James says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." All right, so the New American Standard says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So pretty much the same thing.
Same exact words, yeah. But a couple episodes ago, we talked about the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Right.
And that's important to the helmet of salvation because without the gospel of peace, there's no salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that begs the question, what exactly is the helmet of salvation? And I ask this question because we're not given very much detail here in Ephesians 6:17. It's just, "And take the helmet of salvation." However, fortunately, Paul wrote many letters mm-hmm. to other churches. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8.
Okay. "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation."
So I like this because it almost feels like it expounds on Ephesians 6:17. What is this helmet of salvation? Well, it's the hope of salvation that you wear as a helmet. You protect your head figuratively, spiritually, with the hope of salvation. But the same Greek words are used for hope in Ephesians 6:17. And not hope. The same Greek words are used for helmet.
Okay.
In Ephesians 6:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5:8. What's interesting there is that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Again, having put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. From that verse, we know that Paul was talking about, in Ephesians 6:17, he was also talking about the hope of salvation.
Yeah, I think it's weird there that he uses the word hope of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help explain this a little bit more
yeah.
for our listeners, because I think when we read the Bible, I think it's that word hope is different how it's used in the context versus like how we use it in modern day.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with this before we really talk about the importance of this helmet of salvation. So hope of salvation, this hope. A lot of people today use this word very loosely.
Kind of like the word love.
Exactly. Yes. "I hope it's warm tomorrow. I hope so-and-so candidate wins the election. I hope I get a raise at work this year."
Me too.
I mean, we all do, right? But this using hope in this way, that's not the biblical Christian sense of that word at all. That Greek word used in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 it's pronounced elpis. I put the actual Greek word in here. I recognize one of those letters is pi. Okay.
Okay.
The definition of this hope is joyful and confident expectation of something, in this case, eternal life or eternal salvation. Just from that definition, we see the difference between a Christian hope and the way the word is used by people today.
Yeah.
Today, it's used in a way of just simply, you know, wishing something to happen. When hope is used in a sentence today, it would be better off to just say wish. I said those three statements earlier, so the way they should be said is, I wish for it to be warm tomorrow, or I wish for so-and-so candidate to win the election this year, or I wish I would get a raise at work this year. That's the way the word hope is used today.
Okay.
It's something that in many cases can be out of our control. But pertaining to the hope of salvation, that doesn't mean that the Christian is simply wishing to have salvation after life on earth. I mean, think, what kind of Christian life would it be to just wish on that salvation?
Yeah.
It doesn't lead to a fulfilling life as a Christian.
It had me thinking, you know, if there was no hope of salvation, or if there was no salvation at all, there was no heavenly home,
mm-hmm.
you know, we wouldn't put on the gospel armor anyways.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I really like that comment. But this hope in the Bible just means that the Christian joyfully knows confidently, or confidently and joyfully knows, that he will have salvation after his life on earth is over.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if every Christian had this attitude regarding salvation?
Yeah.
It would be amazing. The church would be growing rapidly. It just would.
And I think, because last time we talked about Satan using those fiery arrows.
Yeah.
You know, he wants you to feel like there is no hope.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this confidently and joyfully knowing your salvation is absolutely supported by the Bible. I wanted to read 1 John 5:13 in particular.
Okay.
Because this one is very clear cut. So if you could read that.
Okay. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we can read the Bible. This is talking about 1 John in particular, so that we know we have eternal life.
Right. And that's one thing I like about the book of 1 John. Because you had all this false doctrine that was going in during this time, and you had people wondering, well, am I actually following the right faith?
Yeah.
And John's saying, yeah, if you are reading the things that I am sending you and what the rest of the apostles have sent you, you can have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you can know with certainty that you follow what's right and that you can have a home in heaven.
Yeah, and that just reminded me, a lot of times when you ask people in denominations today if they're going to heaven, a lot of times they'll answer they hope so. And that's that... Mm. That
I wish so.
That wish. I wish so, yeah. And it's... But we have to, let's just consider how we can have this joyful and confident knowledge that we're going to have eternal life. So first, and I honestly, this is most importantly, because without this, we can't have salvation. Jesus Christ came to earth and took on flesh so that we may be able to have this hope of eternal life with him.
Right.
So we've got 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And you got that?
Yeah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
I mean, that just says it, right? That just says it. We have this hope of eternal life because of Jesus. So the second thing, we have to continuously learn the will of the Lord. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this.
Yes.
But we spoke about this, again, in that gospel plan of salvation episode. This is part of the will of the Lord. But understand, if we say we love God, we will obey his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring this up is because if we don't know God's commandments, if we don't study, we can't know God's commandments.
Right.
So... John chapter 14, verse 15. Very simple, few words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's Jesus speaking. And also in the next chapter, in verse 14, John chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So those are very simple verses.
And there's so many accounts in the New Testament where it talks about spiritual growth is necessary.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think about like Second Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Continue mm-hmm. to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. You think about the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 4, he was getting on to those individuals who were not growing. They were still babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still, you know, holding on to the milk of the word.
Right.
And it's the same thing with us. If you're not growing as a Christian, you're falling backwards.
Oh, yeah. Most certainly. So, loving God requires continuous spiritual growth
right.
in Him. And then third, this goes hand in hand with the previous one. We have to study.
Yeah.
We just have to. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
Yeah,
you could read that.
Yeah, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
And then also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Yeah, so this is what the King James Version says. Yes. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, this scripture is interesting to me. And the reason it's interesting is not because what it says, but it's the way it's translated.
Yes.
So I have my New American Standard Bible right here. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy here and compare these two scriptures, because it's interesting.
I was going to say the same thing.
So 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, in the King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God. In the New American Standard, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed.
Yeah, so how do you become, you know, how are you diligent to present yourself approved to God?
You study. And it's interesting that you have to go to two different translations to get that full picture. Mm-hmm. So, not that you can't get it from either one, but that really, it feels like it fits a puzzle in for us.
Yeah.
And then also, the attitude that we should have when we study, or when we hear things in the world, or in the church even. Acts chapter 17, verse 11.
Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
That's right. Just studying on the things that they heard. That's how we should be.
I kind of want to park right here
okay. For
a second. And I think when I was younger, I had a problem with the mindset of thinking, as long as I read, therefore I'm studying. And it's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you're studying, yes, you are reading. But study involves like application later on.
Oh, yeah.
And the willingness to want to know more, to dig in.
Right.
Yeah. And I think we need to, I don't know, I feel like sometimes people kind of get lost with that. I think, as long as I read my Bible, I'm good. No, we need to study and live our Bible.
Yeah, and well, that's, I mean, part of, I mentioned Christendom in the past. That's just everyone who claims to be a Christian, whether it's true to the Bible or not.
Yeah.
A lot of people, including in the church, will only read, and that's their, I read the Bible, but how much do you understand it?
Yes.
That's important, because you read the King James Version, and you come across 2 Timothy 2:15, and all you see is study. Well, everyone has a different definition of study, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just mentioned it, but then you come to a different translation, and it has a different rendering. Be diligent. Well, just reading, there's not as much diligence there, because you're simply just reading. So, but studying will help to grow spiritually, and it is necessary for our Christian walks.
Absolutely.
And the more we learn about God's will, the better prepared with the helmet of salvation we will be. And then also, this last thing is prayer is required. You can't be a Christian without prayer. And that's how we talk to God, mm-hmm. and our God and our Creator. Imagine trying to maintain a relationship with your wife, but you only talk on Sundays. And it's only like once or twice on Sundays.
Yeah, it's not a good relationship.
How long do you think it's going to last? Not long. But you're not going to be in that relationship very long.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking of it from a tactical point of view. Communication is probably one of the most vital things on the battlefield.
Well, certainly.
You have to have communication with, of course, all the people online with you, mm-hmm. but also you have to have communication with your leadership
to direct
you.
Yeah, and it's the same, you know, we're doing this podcast. If we're not able to effectively communicate what we're trying to get across, and it's a little bit different of an application, but if we can't effectively communicate, we're never going to get what we want out there.
Most definitely.
So we've got Romans chapter 8, verse 26.
All right. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words.
So the Spirit helps our weakness. And then Philippians 4, verse 6, I'll read this one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's so many scriptures we can cite here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. There's so many scriptures we can cite. But God will help us through our trials and temptations. We just have to ask and maintain our relationship with him. So now it's the point of application.
Okay.
So what's the point of all this? It's very important for the Christian to understand, and in my view. But just think about it. If you're facing temptation, this helmet of salvation is just another way to resist it. And we know that salvation, we have it if we've been living according to the Word of God. We read John 14:15 earlier. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then Hebrews 3:12. I'll just read that one quickly. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. That should be our motivation for us to remain faithful.
Yeah.
So that we don't lose our inheritance in heaven.
Yeah. And so think about this. Paul right now is talking about something that's focusing on the head.
Mm.
And so we got to ask ourselves, where's our head right now? Where's our thoughts? Mm-hmm. What's it focused on?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is it focused on the things of this world,
mm-hmm.
where Satan has control, or is our mind focused on heaven and getting there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And yeah, I like that. But the helmet of hope, of salvation, protects a soldier of Christ from what could be a very dangerous attack from the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the purpose of the Roman soldier's helmet. It was to protect from what would 100% be a fatal blow to the head had they not been wearing that helmet.
Yeah.
Our helmet of salvation will protect our souls from what would otherwise be that 100% fatal blow. So, do you have any other things to add?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, that would conclude our episode then. So would you like to tell everyone how they can listen and reach us?
Yeah, you can listen to us on all your podcast platforms, Spotify, Amazon, as well as Apple. We also encourage you to look at our YouTube channel. And then we're also in the works of our website. Mm-hmm. And it will be up pretty soon. But we're going to have some resources on there for everyone who would click onto it. We also want to say, if you have any comments for us, make sure you email us at spirituallyarmored@gmail.com.
That's armored spiritually @gmail.com.
I knew that.
It's backwards.
It's backwards. Yes. Yeah. Understand that. It's armoredspirituallyat@gmail.com. I made a mistake.
That's all right.
But we also want you to continue to like and subscribe. That way you get our latest episodes that come up. And listen to our bonus material. We actually reach out to individuals to use their talents. Give them the opportunity to share the gospel on a platform such as this. So help the show by encouraging them and to sharing the good news through them.
Yeah. All right.
But until then, keep on spreading the gospel and keep on studying and wear your armor. All right. Catch you later.